It's almost the advantage of the rookie. You know, the rookie has the advantage of not having been beat up so much that when you're in those early stages, they can still have that kind of careless optimism about how things are going to be. And in some cases, that actually works out, you know, where because of what they didn't know, they were able to do something audacious enough that people who had been beaten up by business, maybe like you and I, maybe wouldn't take on, you know. And so in some ways, there's an advantage to that audacity, I guess.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think I would say the disadvantage would be their shock and horror when it doesn't work out, when they, you know, get a few months down the road and they're like, wait a minute, I'm way off projections. You know, what do I do now? Watch me pull back my dress shirt and flip off my tie and reveal my big A across my bossy chest. It's time for Accelerator. Can't you visualize? It's like, I'm Accelerator Man.
Transitive verb. To bring about at an earlier time.
To hasten the progress or development.
To move faster. To gain speed.
To hasten the progress or development.
To pause. To move faster.
Accelerator.
Welcome back to the Accelerator Podcast as we dive back into the stories of our eight early stage startups. I'm your host, Josh Ellidge, and I've launched two of my own startups over the years, UpendPR.com and SavingsAngel.com. Now, Canvas is the co-working space that Starter Studio is based in. When you walk into the doors of Canvas and you look left, there's a wall with frames that contain the names of the eight startups that make up this class of Starter Studio. Come on down for a visit. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You can get our address and everything else you need at starterstudio.com. Now, most of these names on the wall have stayed the same, but recently, when Brian Orr walked in, he noticed one of them had changed. He pulled Brian Holmes aside and got his take on it.
So, were you aware that Mark was pivoting to doing food?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, so I'm going to let you read this. So Mark changed his sign from the name of his business, which is Big Box Of, and now what does it say now?
It says Mark's daily email and website that lets you buy food from other cities. That's so awesome. Yeah, he said he was doing a newsletter now, but I didn't know he switched to food only now, too.
Yeah, I had no idea that food was going to be a part of this. But. Mm-hmm.
Brian Holmes of Mousemelon already had a prototype going into Starter Studio, but based on his customer interviews and mentor feedback, he's made a lot of changes to his business model.
Can you do me a favor and just talk through your business model canvas real quick? Because I never got a chance to talk to you about where's yours?
Yeah, it's not even up here. Oh. Basically what happened was my mentor, Pete, basically like wiped my customer segment section of a canvas like off. Like I thought I was going to sell to like the VA and stuff, and they're real hard and bureaucratic, and you'd be lucky if you get like a local VA to carry it, you know, first, maybe a couple local ones.
Right.
So he said, don't put any faith in that. I was going to approach like occupational therapists and orthopedic doctors and physical therapists and try and sell them. He said, don't do it. They don't control the money at like the hospital or the clinic. They're like the lowest guy. You know, you'd want to talk to like the director or something. Like he said, so don't worry about that because that's tough too. And yeah, he basically messed up my business model canvas real good. But he's been selling to people with disabilities for a long time, so he knows. He's tried it all for 20 years, so you know, it's good that I heard it now before I, like he told me he spent 4 years trying to do what I was going to try and do before he changed his customer segment. So that's huge. And like I was saying about sales, he's been selling for 20 years, so his Rolodex will plug me in to a lot of places. So
cool. So your customer segment has changed. So where are you focusing now? Like direct to?
Yeah, direct to consumers. And then I'll be partnering up with like the local VA, hopefully, or local gaming places like GameStop, or maybe I'll get lucky and get like a local Best Buy. And hopefully I can use those sales numbers to get more stores. And then eventually I could have retail partners and distribution that way. So I wouldn't have to worry about direct to consumer. Someone else could I could be B2B instead of B2C, business to business. Yeah.
I think that suits you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you seem kind of like the guy who really wants to focus on building the product and, and that kind
of
thing.
Well, it's funny. Like, a lot of this is distracting me. They said, like, the first month here, don't even worry about building anything. Like, the boot camp phase, they said, just stop what you're doing, stop developing, and just focus on your customer segment and your value proposition and everything. And they said, because I make a physical thing, I'm basically locked in to this physical thing. Like, if they don't want this thing, like, I'm screwed, basically.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, but you still feel good about it, right?
Oh, yeah, I feel real good about it. Like, there's plenty of potential. You know, it's, a lot of people actually need it. People want it, so. I feel we could do all right, even if it's not a breakout success, you know, it'd still be a solid business.
All right, so you have a physical product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with a physical product, we're waiting to actually see a thing being sold. So when do you think that's going to happen? What are you projecting?
They said by the end of the week, I should have all the software and hardware ready to go. I'm going out of town the 1st through the 6th, so maybe mid next week.
Are you being optimistic?
Yeah, I'm being optimistic. Realistically, maybe the start of the week after that. Okay. So, middle of next month, I should have a nice, polished product in a box, packaging, everything ready to go.
And are you going to go straight? Are you planning on going straight into crowdfunding?
No, I actually made the decision to put off crowdfunding. It's real hard. You have to build a following to get your campaign successful. And there's enough business locally, and I can use targeted ads, that I can get enough sales to sustain my business for a long, long time. And hopefully, if it does ever catch on and there is a waiting list, you know, my back orders are so long that I just have to do one huge mass production push. That would be my intro into mass production, then. Okay. Would be crowdfunding.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so with all this financial model stuff, like, you kind of had an interesting take on it, which was, I don't want to say, well, I'll say it. It was almost a little dismissive of it, almost kind of like, I've got to sell the product before any of this kind of matters. So give me your take on that.
Yeah, it was real easy. Like I said, I filled out the model in like 2 hours. It was no problem. I looked at it for like a half hour yesterday just to make sure everything was where I was planning to be. But yeah, I don't really see the need, because right now it's all speculation. So until it's a real tangible number I'm going to put in there, until I'm talking about actual sales goals, it just seems hypothetical. There's no need for me to waste my time speculating at this point.
And you're not a guy who likes to waste time.
No.
Mark Bartoli is not only the founder of Big Box Of, he also runs a very successful local blog as well as organizes local events. Because of this, he's gained a lot of experience using Facebook to market his business. Melissa asked Mark if he would be willing to give a Facebook workshop, and Mark agreed. It was unlike any Facebook workshop you've ever seen.
So you can advertise your website on Facebook without followers. So if you have a website, you don't need fans. And we can go through that visually, but I guess that's important to show you how to do it, right?
Yeah. And do you target? Like, how do you go
about targeting? So, like, you can target as granularly as you can figure out how to do. So you can choose a woman, 18 to 24, who lives in Okeechobee. And if you want to use keywords, you can use keywords, things that if there's a keyword for what you're talking about.
Is everyone bored already?
I am.
Such a waste of time.
So the first thing you want to do if you promote a post, I have a lot of fans. I got it because I was advertising. That's where I got them. Does that make sense to everybody?
2 G's a month?
200 a month.
Thank you.
So in the upper right hand corner is promote. That's how you make
$200 a month? That's a lot.
Oh, I thought you said number of people.
Mm-mm, I was asking how much you said. You said 2,000, right?
$2,000 a month, but because I'm advertising 12 events. So I'm advertising my product to 12 different cities because my product goes to those cities, but you guys could potentially not spend that much. I'm just telling you how much I spend, just to give you an idea of, like, you know, and I'm just a tiny company. I mean, we make six figure. So here's how to make an ad. We'll just start somewhere. Go. So upper right hand corner says this. Number one, Facebook is completely non-instinctual. They do not care about usability. So if you can't find something, it's there because they're horrible people. Okay. They do not feel smart, so they can go pay someone to do this.
But what is the benefit of a group versus
versus a page?
So I don't know.
You can't advertise a group, but you can advertise a page. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's not true. We learned
this. You can't advertise a group.
No, I taught you how to do it.
Through a page.
Yeah. Hello, then you can advertise the group. So yeah. She has a group with 160 members. You can use your page with no fans to advertise that group.
Yeah, that's why I created a page.
Just a call to action? Or what is the page? When you hit, so when you're promoting the page.
Oh, interesting. So you can have a Facebook page just to run ads. Interesting.
For your website.
For anything, yeah.
And advertise it.
But if you're part of a group, don't you get all of the posts from that group?
It doesn't seem like it, because since under 250 members, you can see who sees the post. And a lot of times, like, I'll have, like, not that many see it. Like, 32 people see the post, so.
So here, I put the link to the page. It automatically populates with the graphic. And you can say, join our private group and ask Mark, our founder, anything you want. And then
you can just delete that link and the graphic will stay up, right?
I don't know. Does it?
Yeah.
And
what?
Then delete the link.
I don't think so.
Delete it.
Oh,
so let's publish it and let's see if the link.
Facebook master.
Us millennials, you know.
And it's clickable.
Once you were the apprentice,
that's cool.
Though.
Yeah.
Love it!
That makes it more pretty full.
Yeah.
So you want to advertise your group. You saw what I did. I put the link in. I removed it. You can write a thing or not. And then you can
see, that's cool.
Boost that post.
Share, advertise the group.
Now, what are we going to think? I mean, I don't know if the text in this is too much. But you can still try. So you can boost that to get people to your site.
And then I can just click on that link to join the group. That's
join the group.
Cool.
Yeah. Then I boost my post. So you can promote your website, you can promote your Facebook group, and you do not have to have fans. That is a very important.
That's powerful. Show.
Think about the time you thought, how am I going to get fans? How am I going to get fans? You get fans through advertising. That helps promote your group, it helps promote your website, it helps promote whatever your ad is, and while you're advertising, you're getting fans. Hopefully, if your graphic is good, if your message is good.
It's the same thing.
So, if you spend a lot of time paying to advertise to get people to follow you or to be your fan, you completely wasted the money. There's no value to getting someone to like your page because then they're not going to see your stuff. So the ad needs to have a different mission. So the ad is to get people to what? Use your product, engage with your product, go to your website,
sign up.
Like that. Sign up.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, I hope you've been enjoying the Accelerator podcast as we follow the starters in Starter Studio. It's very, very cool to be able to watch these starters grow, and you're going to continue to see them grow because of the help of a lot of mentors, teachers, and coaches. Now, these starters were selected because they showed the right stuff in episode one, and so they are getting Starter Studio completely pro bono. Now, this podcast is also pro bono to you. Now, Brian and I are thrilled to be able to produce this audio show. So all we ask in return is just simply your warm feelings toward the following corporate partners who make this all work. Thank you so much to the University of Central Florida, who does a lot of work in terms of supporting the growing entrepreneurial ecosystem throughout Central Florida. UCF is the number two largest university in the United States in terms of student population and in the top 15 in the category of most innovative. UCF is a great partner in education, technical resources, workforce development, and grant support, along with other noble missions locally, such as helping make Starter Studio happen with the support of the Office of Research and UCF Innovation Corps. Thank you. The other Platinum partner this season that's helping this all work is the audit, tax, and business advisory firm Withum. And that's W-I-T-H-U-M. Now, they specialize in helping tech startups. They are the go-to firm for all things accounting and business consulting. If you are a startup, Withum is the go-to firm for you. Now, another partner we want to thank is the law firm Akerman. And of course, we want to thank our other sponsors, NV Labs, Code School, and Corridor Legal. And of course, we want to thank our team, Greg Pollock, who's our founder, Donna McKenzie, the executive director of Starter Studio, and Melissa Wasserman, who's the director of programming and operations.
So, is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Are you confused?
This is great.
Don't say no just because. All right. So you don't want to choose daily budget. You want to choose lifetime budget. Because daily budget is just stupid. It's like, okay, I want to spend X number of dollars per day. Well, just choose a life. The problem with that is there's the potential that you could forget that this ad is running, and then 2 months down the road, oh, yeah, that thing I'm paying $25 a day for is still going. So choose lifetime budget, and you're like, okay, I'm only, for this test, for this ad, I'm only going to spend, you could spend down to $2. So then you choose your date. And for example, if you're experimenting with, does this ad work, does this ad not work, we did this. We wanted to drive, see if we could drive traffic to her group, Facebook group. So we did an ad that started at 9 a.m. and ended at 9 p.m. And if you're lazy like me, you could do the test from like 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. and see the results and then say, okay, well, we could change the graphic, we can make the letters bigger, we could try the other variables. And you can test like that really quickly. Host engagement, generally, you just want to do automatic. However, if you have an event that night that you forgot to advertise, you want to choose accelerated. That means that they will shove the ad out faster. And that's what you want if you're really late for something or you want something. Maybe like if you're going to a convention of people who make travel things, maybe you want to choose that the day of or the day before so a lot of people see it. In order to do accelerated, you have to choose manual. So we'll just go through this. Otherwise, you can just choose automatic, standard, and go along. See, this is so unintuitive. That's the word. This is not made for humans. This is made for the nerds who program. You know what I mean?
Right. So I discovered something today that we can actually target people based upon email addresses. Now, have you ever done that? So if you guys recall, we found a list with a bunch of email addresses. I can actually target them on Facebook in anticipation of a convention, for example, and push out my brand. And the only ones who will see it are those people with those email addresses, assuming they are on Facebook.
So do you have to put the email addresses in manually?
Yep. I don't know if it's manual. We have to input the data. I would imagine it's not manual.
Well, right, right.
The conversation with 10,000 email addresses is like 10 bucks.
Wow.
But it's so narrowly targeted that now those 10,000 people only will see squiggle, 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 squiggle. And hopefully when they walk by the booth, you go, hey, I know y'all. And then they are
awesome.
So there's, you're saying there's a way to advertise to an email list on Facebook?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. As soon as I know more, okay. I'll tell Mark and Mark will teach us.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, we're off the rails. Now, how much money am I going to pay for this thing? For some reason, I guess because I'm choosing 25 to 27, they're suggesting 62 to $1.27, and the suggested bid is 92. I always do the cheapest because I'm cheap. If it's really important, do the suggested.
Squiggle is Ron Benzeev and David Pancross. And as we mentioned before, they're already startup veterans, and it shows.
Talk to me about where you're at, because you guys have made some pretty big strides in the last week, 10 days.
Yes, we have. We've been able to get an agreement with one of the data providers in the industry called Skyscanner. And Skyscanner has given us access to data for free. It's not full unrestricted access, but it's enough for us to know that what we're doing works. Not only do we know that it works, we've also done testing, and we can show how quickly we can save someone a lot of money on complex itinerary. We also qualified to be in the semifinals of the Rollins Venture Pitch Competition. We pitched yesterday. We didn't make it to the finals, but that process was also illuminating. We learned a lot of really cool things along the way on both the story, what we're doing, how we're approaching it, and some of the things that are that need to be tweaked along the way.
So, David, you've already kind of gone beyond the MVP now. I mean, like, you actually have a functional site now, right?
Yeah, we do. It actually, it even performs beyond what we expected it to perform. So we're very happy with what we've got right now.
So what does that specifically look like? Because I know Melissa was telling us that you've actually done some tests, you know, races, I guess, if you want to call it, with travel agents. So tell me about a little bit about that.
Well, what we've done is compare the traditional routing. So if you go online and you say, I want to go to these number of cities, and you plug it in and you get a number, if you try to do every variation, it's 24. So four cities will take 24 different ways of doing something. And each time you do this, the price can change. The different airlines can change their pricing. And the website puts cookies on your browser so that if you decide to come back afterwards, the first price you got, because let's say it was the cheapest, that price more than likely is gone. We simplify all that, and our process does in seconds what can take you hours to do, and gets you the cheapest flights for that route. And we've done it. The numbers are staggering.
Yeah, for six cities, I think the number that I'm just on my laptop, not on a super fast computer. My laptop's 4 years old. Took 7 seconds to book a 6-city trip.
And how confident are you that the result that you're getting is the best option?
Well, I can see all, I can look at all the results. And so, yeah, I'm very confident that it's the best result.
So, okay, so here's the big question. Have you effectively solved the traveling salesman problem?
No, it's not the generalized solution, not the one. I mean, we've solved it within the parameters of what we're doing, in this case, 6-7 cities. The generalized solution would be doing it in polynomial time, which is a computer science term, but I'm not going to disclose whether we're doing that or not.
Okay. So, all right. Well, let me ask this question then, at least. Is it possible that what you're doing from a development standpoint could have a lot of additional possibilities than just this iteration?
That's what we always hope for. We're going in a particular path, solving a particular challenge, and then we're hoping that the tools that we're creating will have other applications and implications down the road. So that's obviously the moonshot, yes.
Yeah. We have hooks in our software so that we can expand on our offering in tremendous ways, which could have huge bonuses down the line, but I don't know that we're ready to play all our cards yet. So
yeah, fine. But is it fair to say that you're feeling pretty hopeful at the moment?
Look, it's a journey of an entrepreneur. So there are days where we're high-fiving each other and going, this is awesome. And there are days where we're going to go, all right, let's slog through this. And the reality is, until we have someone swiping the first credit card that says, I want to buy this, we don't know. So are we solving problems? Yes. Does anyone care about our solution? We believe so. But when the first person swipes a credit card, that's really when we'll start doing the tap dance.
And you got to remember, our elation, our progress is probably a little tempered by the fact that we just found out about not making it to the finals of the Venture Pitch Competition. So
today is one of those side days then? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it started off a little bit as, of course, we're competitive. Of course, we want to win. We didn't make it to the finals. We've got good friends who did. Awesome for them. We wanted to be there with them. We're not. So now it's just shifting focus, shifting gears, and heading down and doing some of the other stuff. At the same time, we discovered access to a vast database of travel agents, which is making our lives a little bit easier. We discovered it by accident. That's beautiful. So, yeah. You know, a little down and a lot of up.
Yeah, every day has ups and downs.
Ariel Cohen has been busy with Zook. She hopped straight into Starter Studio right out of the UCF iCorps program, and she hit the ground running. Now, because of how she is, it's been difficult to get her on mic, but we're grateful whenever she gives us a few minutes.
We're at that point where nothing's for sure, everything's moving in different directions, and we're just kind of funneling out exactly the route that we're going. So we're just lining everything up. I would say development's still moving forward.
getting all the legal aspects of our company set in place is really where we're at right now.
Okay, so I know you had a lot of things legal related that you were wanting to hash out with Ackerman and the different people who are here. So what specifically is going on with you? What struggles?
I wouldn't say any struggles. I think just learning and protecting ourselves and the company. There's only so much. You can't like overthink it too much, because at one point I was just like, oh my gosh, we need to take care of the legal, and it was like sitting on my shoulders, weighing me down. So not to go into too much detail, but you know, the things that general companies need, having our trademarks in place, our founders agreements, and just making sure that we have everything prepared and lined up so we don't, you know, end up hurting ourselves in the future.
So is it just you, or do you have a co-founder?
So that's an interesting question. We have a team, and so it's myself and then Caitlin Rock and Zach Shea, and then amongst other developers. But I would say myself, Caitlin, and Zach are the primary people who you see usually walking around here and working really hard. Like Caitlin does a lot of market research and operations, while Zach does a lot of the design and iOS development.
Okay, so in thinking about your product, could you highlight one thing that's definitely changed based on what you've done with validation, customer validation, those sorts of things?
Things that have changed. Well, without adding too much, you know, different features into our platform, when we speak to our customers, we really got a good idea of the route we were going to take. So when we first started, it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is going to be an awesome music platform, you know, and that was really it, actually. And then as we spoke to our customers and got out there, and we weren't limited. Like, we were speaking to different people. It didn't matter if you were a listener, if you were a producer, if you were a podcaster. We would try to talk to everyone. And from that, it really opened doors of, okay, this is the route. This is from what we hear from listening to other people. This is what people want. So we added a lot of, well, not too much, because we didn't want to just keep adding and adding and adding, but I would say working on our collaboration, like the collaborative feature in itself, we've been working on a lot.
Okay, so like the ability for like producers and artists to be able to collaborate on work, is that the idea?
Yeah, so the idea is for this space to be a place for music professionals, and not limited to just artists and producers, but pretty much anyone within the music space to go here and be able to collaborate with one another and create better music.
You mentioned that it's kind of funny when you talk about founders, or are you having anything as it relates to equity splitting? Have you had any of those discussions yet with the different co-founders?
With our founders, I think we have an agreement kind of set verbally right now, and that's what we're working towards, actually having a written agreement. As of now, it's kind of just myself with the equity, but however, you know, I built this team for a reason and I trust them, so we'll be working more into the numbers later on.
Is that a stressful conversation for you?
It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit like, I feel like awkward, but not really, because that's my job. This is what I have to do. I have to look out for what's best for the company and what we're trying to do. So it's something that needs to be done. I think everyone kind of understands that.
But when you go from this stage of it being an idea that everyone's excited about, does it feel weird to apply like money to it? Does that make it a little weird?
It's kind of scary because it makes it real, you know? Yeah, it is weird. But I think we've kind of already been having little talks here and there, and everyone kind of understands what their role is and how together as a team we all have different, you know, attributes that we bring to the table. You know, I might be good at something that someone else on the team isn't, and that's why we came together. So it's just necessary to talk out numbers when you start, you know, developing and getting to this point.
So something I hear a lot with startups is this idea that as soon as you put a number on something, it's like you're putting a value on a relationship.
Yes.
Do you get that? Like, does that?
Yes, that totally makes sense. I mean, that's essentially what it is, but that's what we have to do.
No choice, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have no choice, especially at this stage, because even though right now it's like, oh, okay, well, we could wait that out. In the future, it's going to be important that we have everything set, at least the backbone and the structure.
I asked Arielle how things have been going and what she's been learning through the development process on her application.
development's fun right now. So yeah, we're in like kind of sprint one going on to sprint two of our development. As of now, it's been great. I know that, you know, with development things pop up, but we've been trying to work as effectively as possible and really create meaning between each of, well, every time I meet with our developers, there's a reason and we're moving forward and constantly moving forward. And I think that's most important.
Ariel mentioned the term sprints, and I wanted to take a quick second and highlight what that means. When you're developing a piece of software, you have to think of it in one of a couple different ways. And what most developers are learning nowadays is that the best way to create something is to do it in little bursts, where you decide a feature that you want to create, you work like crazy in order to build it, get it built, and then assess its efficacy and what the next thing is to do, as opposed to designing something all the way from the top down. This goes hand in hand with what's called the agile methodology, the agile method of developing software, which is really very similar to what the lean methodology is when you're developing a business. Don't do it all at once. Build something and then validate it. Figure out where you need to pivot and change in order to make it better.
I've learned a lot because these guys are really, really talented. And even though I have a strong background in a technical IT kind of background, you know, they're graduate level developers. They do know things that I don't know. So I'm constantly learning from them and they're constantly bringing ideas as far as, okay, this is how we should manage the development. And I'm constantly, you know, learning and improving and implementing that into how we run our team and how we, you know, continue with development.
Mark describes the dreaded Facebook page conundrum. Just having likes on a page means very little nowadays.
Any questions on that? Any comments on that?
You're a master.
It's pretty.
It's hard to use. It's boring to use. Visually, it's not. It's stupid.
You said it's
so how do you upload
yeah.
a... How,
but the process, what I'm saying is, when you sit down to do this, it will not be enjoyable. So if it's frustrating, I think it's horribly designed. What?
You show us how to publish something?
I'm sure no one in here uses Facebook.
You guys want to learn how to publish something?
But if you have 47,000 likes on the page, why do you need to advertise if you already
get here? Good question.
So your content doesn't blast out
to people
in the news for free?
No. Yesterday, I published this at 3:45 a.m. So I have how many fans? 47,000 fans. I had 60 came to me this week. And then this thing has no sponsoring, no payment, and look how many people it reached. 700, if you can't read it, 706 people.
Why?
I don't know.
In a past episode, Ricky shared that he's really in love with solving the problem of combat and contact sports injuries. We checked in with him to see how that story is evolving.
So, since we talked last,
mm-hmm.
how are you feeling? Has anything changed?
Feel a lot better. I've made a lot more connections and just met a lot more people that are able to help me along the process. So, yeah, I feel a lot better. And the whole MVP thing, using the lean method, I think I did a good job with that.
Okay.
So you were in there when I had that, right?
Yeah. So it wasn't something that you had to spend a lot of money on or spend a lot of time mm-hmm. on just to get kind of rolling mm-hmm. with it.
And it was weird how I came upon it, but like I was just doing a lot of digging and I happened to come upon it and I had pretty much everything I needed and for $30. So
yeah.
Just, you know, it's kind of cool seeing it and playing with it and then just kind of thinking about what I envision my final product to look like. But like having this is like kind of the first thing, you know, so first visual, something, the first tangible thing I can kind of mess with. So that part is cool, a lot cooler than I thought. But yeah, it just is kind of the first step and it feels pretty good.
Okay. So if you remember, you and I talked a little bit about the way that you told the story of your why.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
At all? Okay. So mm-hmm. Where are you at with that? So like when people ask you about like today, if someone were to ask you, all right, tell me about what Advancing Technologies is and what it does. How would you explain that differently now than you did early on?
I think now it's a little bit more different in the aspect that, I mean, obviously we all knew it was bigger than just, you know, the boxing and MMA world. Like Donna was saying, she had that friend that she spoke with on the tennis court and her daughter had that issue where they didn't know that she received a concussion. And now she went from like being a straight A student to, you know, being in remedial classes.
Right.
And I've heard like a bunch of those stories along the way. So for me, it's like, I mean, it's such a huge market. A lot of it is going more towards younger athletes, like amateurs and kids that are playing recreationally. I wouldn't say it's any different than what we talked about. It's just like I see a bigger problem than what I initially thought it was.
And maybe even a little bit easier to reach target customer. I mean, that's what I'm hearing a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because, I mean, the age range is a very broad age range. And, yeah, I mean, these stories kind of validated everything as far as the concussion piece for me, that it's something that's needed.
Right.
Because there was also a story similar to Donna's friend, where it was a girl was playing soccer. I think it was somewhere here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And went from a straight A student to she's struggling through school now. So if I can help prevent that from happening, you know, from somebody receiving that second concussion and keeping along that path that they were on. I mean, going straight A student to remedial, you know, that's pretty bad. But if that kid, I can help that kid continue to go through school. I mean, how big is that, you know? I think that's what's been great about going through this process and talking to the different people. You see just how broad that, you know, the market can be. And, you know, you kind of get a better feel of who you should initially offer it to or who all could, you know, could use this. Mm-hmm. And the stories that you hear, I mean, they really affect you, let you know that what you're doing is right. And, mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing about being an entrepreneur, a CEO is making a change, you know, a change for the better. And if I can, like I said, help somebody save their life, first of all, or, you know, taking a couple steps down, you know, allowing that kid to remain an A student and go to college and become what they, you know, were initially on the path to becoming. I mean, that's how big is that? I mean, as an entrepreneur, CEO, that would be awesome, you know?
Yeah. And there are entire markets built around. Maybe it wouldn't make a difference for this one particular kid. Maybe it didn't change anything for them, but the peace of mind that their parents can now have makes it all worth it, because even just the stress of knowing, you know, like if you're going to let your kids, you know, participate in a sport that has some impact involved in it, mm-hmm. like I said, even soccer, you know, mm-hmm. doing headers and the things that you do with impacts and all that. But now if you can at the end say, all right, this is where they're at, you know, mm-hmm. like they got a little beyond the threshold of where they should have been. And now they can say, all right, I'm pulling them out for a while.
Yeah.
So let them rest and recover.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I've heard from friends that have kids. A lot of them, they won't let their kids play football because really they don't know what's going on with them internally. I mean, a kid could be looking like me and you right now, walking off the field fine, and then, you know, throw up hours later and black out, you know. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of friends that don't want their kids to play football. And it's gotten so crazy now that soccer is like, they're kind of like, oh, my God, I don't know if I want to play soccer, because they're starting to see, you know, the information coming out now about that sport. And, you know, gradually, more and more, the sports that you didn't think these things were happening, like we talked about earlier, there's people starting to find out that, man, kids are dying from playing these things. Definitely, the giving somebody peace of mind, first and foremost, is the best thing. And obviously, if somebody's hurt, you want to detect that as well. So I think all around, it's an awesome product. And speaking with everybody and seeing what change it could make is an even better feeling. You know?
One of the most painful parts of starting a business is realizing that you spend so much time and effort working on things that often don't pan out. It's hard to keep an open mind before you build something. It can be even harder to let go of something you've built. Next time on Accelerator.
I mean, of course I have to validate everything, but I don't think they're going to be the customer like they would pay me for it. I think if people are looking for stylists, then they're the ones that would pay for it, because they pay for it off. I will. I know.
I have talked to people. Theories based on, not on reality and what people want. Facts and data, they're based on like your theories.
Okay, scratch it, like don't assume. Go in there open-minded. See what the data, what these people actually say back to you, and then build off that. So,
this episode of the Accelerator Podcast, like all the others, was hosted by Josh Ellidge. I've been your producer, Brian Orr. And I want to remind you, like we generally do at the end of this podcast, that we would really appreciate any subscriptions and or reviews on iTunes, the Google Play Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It does help us. And I look forward to seeing you next time on Accelerator. We'll be right back.
Thank you.